We're so grateful that you've come. We're grateful that you've decided to worship here at Floris. And want to invite you, if you're a guest, when the service is over, to go out that door to the left to our Connection Point desk, where we have a gift and some information about the church for you. We have some information we're going to share this morning.
The first one is something that we often enjoy doing during the summer. Next week starts August. So during the month of August, we want you to choose the music. So some of you have favorite worship songs or hymns that you would like to sing that just bring a lot of joy to you. So what we want you to do is to write those down on the participation form, or there's a place online you can do it as well, and send them to us, and we'll compile the list and we'll kind of choose the top ones from everybody. So share with us your songs and your worship hymns that you want.
Often when people are in the hospital, they're having surgery, you come to us and you say, how can we help? What can we do? One of the ways that we can tangibly do something is give blood. We started doing blood drives here at Floris back a few years ago as a result of a few things that happened in our community. So you can give blood this Saturday here at Floris. There are many times throughout the day. If you want to do that, go out to the rock wall and sign up this morning. We would love to have anybody that can give that's willing to give to go out and sign up this morning so you can do that on Saturday.
So this next announcement is a secret. So it's just between all of us and all the people online. So, but don't tell anybody else. So Tom Berlin's birthday is coming up and he will be, yes, 50 years old, which I think is about time. So that's awesome. What we want to do is give him cards. We want everybody to write a card. If you want to do that, write a funny card or a serious card or a nice card or a maybe not so nice card. And turn them in. There'll be a place at the connection desk from now until September the 1st, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to collect all those cards. And then at the picnic that's coming up, the 1st of September, we are going to give them all to him in one big bunch. This is just a really nice way. He doesn't want to like a great big to-do done, but we have to recognize. I mean, 50 is a big deal. So please take some time to do a card. And again, don't tell anybody, especially don't tell Tom.
Yeah, you can tell your friends. Just don't tell Tom. We want to, as Barbara mentioned earlier, those online, we want to welcome you. If you're online this morning, if you're worshiping with us, many of you have told us that this summer that it's been a great way, if you're away on vacation, to come and to still be present here at Floris. So we're so grateful that you've come. You'll also all notice, whether you're online or here this morning, that we have a different preacher. Nadeem Kokar is here with us this morning. He'll be giving the sermon. About 5 or 6 weeks ago, we were supposed to have Laity Sunday. And some things changed in our schedule, and Nadeem had written this wonderful sermon that he's going to deliver this morning. So we picked another date, and we said, Nadeem, come and preach. Nadeem is a student at Wesley Seminary, and I got to hear him at 8 o'clock. I believe it will be a great joy for you this morning. So those are all of our pieces of information this morning. This is the day that God has made. Let's stand as we are able, and let's sing our first song together.
One, two, three, eight.
Let's sing Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name in a round in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing
you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked.
Pray.
Take a moment before you sit down. Tell people around you how good they sung with you this morning.
Now the question was raised as my conscience fell, a silly little lie. Well, it didn't seem much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still, you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But my future's so far, my heart is so frail, I think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life I've ever known. You love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me, how you love me. It took more than my strength to simply be still, to seek but never find. All the reasons we change, the reasons I doubt, and why loved ones have to die. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. You love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me. I am the thorn in your crown, but you love me anyway. I am the sweat from your brow, but you love me anyway. I am the nail in your wrist, but you love me anyway. I am Judas's kiss, but you love me anyway. See, now I am the man who yelled out from the crowd for your blood.
This morning, as we enter into our time of prayer, I am certain that you come in with people that you're thinking about, different situations that are on your heart. Maybe there was something that happened at work this week, and you just want to pray for that. And you feel like when you come to this sanctuary that it is a place that's sacred, a place where you can lift that up. I invite you to do that this morning during our time of silence that we'll begin. I'll also say that I invite you to do that throughout your week, to pray in the mornings, afternoons, evenings, all day without ceasing, to lift things up, but to also pray for these things that are on my list this morning. I want to invite you to pray for Tucker Winfrey. Tucker is an 18-year-old that had an accident this week. He's in ICU. He's recovering from a surgery. I really think it would be important and valuable for us to pray for him and for this family. Tucker's recovering. He's making movements forward, but I want you to pray for him. Pray for his mother, Roxanne, for his dad, Alec, as they walk through this recovery process with him. I also want to invite you to do this and to pray for this next group, and I want to seriously invite you to pray for them throughout this next week. I want to invite you to pray for a group of middle school students that are going to Romney, West Virginia with the Jeremiah Project. I want you to pray for the adults that go with them. I want you to pray for the people that they have the opportunity to work with, for the staff of the Jeremiah Project, for the relationships that they might form, for their relationship with God. And I believe that if we spend every day this week praying for them, that will be a powerful thing. That we as a congregation can sort of experience this with them, not only through the blog, through pictures, but also through our time of prayer. So please, I invite you to do that this week. They leave this afternoon and they'll be back on Saturday. That's all that I have on my list this morning. As I said in the beginning, I'm certain that you have things on yours. So let's begin our time of prayer with a time of silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come together this morning to worship you. We come into this sanctuary. We step into this sacred place so that we might lift praise to you, offer up thanksgiving, that we might come as a group of people, God, who corporately desire to know you more, that this time that we come each week is an opportunity for us to grow in our love of you. And while at the same time, while we come and we sing these praises, while we come and we offer our thanksgiving, I know that there are some people in this congregation this morning who are struggling, who are having challenges, God, who are recovering from illnesses, who are struggling with friendships, with relationships within their family, who are struggling with their job, looking for a job, trying to find out if they want to stay in their current job. God, who are struggling with many other options. So God, this morning, we lift them up to you. We lifted them up in this time of silence, and we do that because we believe that you are powerful. We believe that you deeply love us and that you care about us. God, we believe that you can do things about our prayers. We praise you, God, that while we lift them up silently and corporately, you hear them all. And we thank you for the many promises that you give us in your word. God, we pray specifically this morning for Tucker, for his family as he recovers from the accident that he had this past week, that they might sense your presence in his hospital room, that, Lord, they might be able in the midst of this to find some peace in you. That God, we as the church would be the church, that we would love them, care for them, and bless them. God, that our response might be to come when called upon. God, we pray too for our middle school students who are heading out to Romney, West Virginia this afternoon. Might they have an experience this week where they connect with you more? Where through their serving, they see a little bit more of the world. where relationships are built both amongst them and with their adults that go with them, but also between them and the folks that they have the opportunity to serve and to be in relationship with this week. Would you be with those that they are serving? Might they sense your presence? Might their lives be a little bit better this week after these students come to serve? God, I thank you that I am part of a church, that I have the opportunity to serve at a church that cares so much about caring for those in need, whether they be ill, whether they have financial need. God, whatever their needs might be, I am so grateful to be part of a church that cares, that not only cares but wants to physically do things about that care. God, we pray for the blood drive and thank you for the opportunity of being able to do that here at Flores, and pray that that would be a time where much is given so that many might be blessed. And God, I thank you that we have this opportunity and the freedom to come this morning. And I pray that this morning is not simply about Sunday morning at 9:15, but it's about going out into the world after this service is over, ready and excited to share the good news of the gospel, to look at the folks that we have the opportunity to come into contact with, Lord, interact with them, live a life that reveals you. God, we offer all of this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The greeters are going to come forward with the registration pads. We invite you to fill those out. Pass those down your pew. Pass them back. If there's somebody sitting with you this morning that you don't know, please introduce yourself. And also, the ushers are coming to collect God's tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for these gifts that have been given both here this morning and those that are given online. God, we praise you and we thank you for the many blessings in our life that you give us. We pray that we would use these gifts to glorify you, that these might be used to go out to share the good news with the world. Amen. Remain standing. Let's sing our next song together.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Hear the words of Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me and for me? God Almighty, I, despite of all my weaknesses, have humbly presented myself to be used as your instrument. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Today I'm going to talk about worry. And let me start with this question. How many of us have something in our lives right now that can make us worry and anxious? Perhaps most of us do. And if we don't have anything today, we might have tomorrow or the next day. And that's not a negative comment, but just life is so real, and we never know what exactly is going to come on our way. And despite of, it seems to me that despite all our searching for happiness, we don't seem to be finding very much of it. Despite all our efforts and struggles, true happiness continues to elude us. Why? Why it is that the more we pursue happiness, the more we find ourselves surrounded by fears and worries? Why? This morning scripture gives us the answer. The Sermon on the Mount, in which, besides many other important things addressed by Jesus, he also talked about the issues of worries, which of course was a big challenge for his listener, as it is for us today. And that group was not a well-off group, but people were extremely poor, oppressed, and could barely make both ends meet. And despite their sufferings, Jesus tells them, do not worry. Doesn't it sound interesting? If today I tell some friend that I have lost my job and I don't know how to pay my next month's bills, or I'm having some serious medical issues, or I'm having some really difficult time in marriage, and if that friend tells me not to worry, my reaction would be kind of like this. What? I'm having serious issues in my life, and you are telling me not to worry? Perhaps you don't have any idea of my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through. Does this reaction sound familiar to you? We feel offended when someone reminds us about Jesus' words, do not worry. But this is what Jesus wants from us. Do not worry. And one of the many reasons we can't find happiness is we find happiness in the wrong places. What we seek is happiness, but we end up in worries. When I was a university student, I didn't have a car, and I learned to drive from my friends in their cars. Wasn't it something smart to do? And I did not know anything about the cars, not even the basic things. One day I borrowed a car from a friend, and he had this car. We call that in Pakistan a Foxy car. I think it's here it's a Volkswagen. So when I finished my work and I was on the way to return his car, the car broke down on the road. And I parked the car on the side of the road, and I tried to use my common sense and figure out what had gone wrong. And I did not know that in this kind of car, the engine was not under the hood, but was in the trunk. Yes, I got out and came in the front, and I opened the hood. And when I opened the hood, I was surprised to see that there was no engine. It was just a spare tire there, and I started looking here and there that where the engine was. And can you imagine that I even looked under the car for the engine? But the engine was nowhere to be seen. So I closed the hood, and I decided to get some help. I started waving my hands to the oncoming traffic, and after a few attempts, a pickup truck stopped, and the driver asked me what was the matter. I told him that the car broke down and I can't start it. So he came out and asked me to try to start the car again. I tried it again, and when it wouldn't, he asked me to open. He didn't tell me what to open. He just asked me to open, and I thought this is what he meant. So I came again here, and I opened the hood. And he realized what was wrong and started making fun of me. He saw there and asked, "Hey, where is the engine?" "I don't know," I said. "It was here." And then he told me that, and he said that, "Probably you have dropped it somewhere." I picked up the tire and saw that the floor was fine. That was all right, absolutely fine. And you can imagine that what I was thinking, that floor is fine, how can I drop it? So then he told me that there was a spare engine in the trunk. We came back, I opened the trunk, and he did something with the wires, and the car started. And then he told me that in this kind of car, the engine was in the trunk and not under the hood. The point I want to make out of this story is this. We often look for happiness where it does not exist. It exists somewhere else, but we find it somewhere else. Jesus was a very smart preacher. He knew the pulse of that audience and his audience 2,000 years later, of us. He knew that what we will argue to justify our worries. Have we not our families to provide for? Must not our bodily wants be supplied? Or how can we get through our lives? How can we possibly get through our lives if we think about our souls first? And Jesus foresaw these arguments. So he did not finish there by saying that do not worry. He went further and gave us more. He reminds us the providential care that God continually takes of everything that he has created. Has he given us life? Then surely he will not let us want anything necessary for its maintenance. Has he given us the bodies? Then surely he will not let us die for the want of clothing. He that calls us into being will surely feed us. He sends us to the birds of the air for instruction. They make no provision for the future. They lay up no stores against the time yet to come. They do not gather into the barns. They ought to teach us that those doing what God wants us never will fall into poverty. God provided Israelites in the wilderness, manna in the morning and quails in the evening. And what was the instruction with that? Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day." Very clear instructions about tomorrow. Each day and enough for that day. We don't need to be worried about tomorrow, that what we will wear and what we will eat tomorrow. Just each day and enough for that day. After telling us about the providential care of God by using birds' example, Jesus turns our attention to the flowers and addresses another issue of everyday life. What will we wear? Doesn't this story perplex us every day? What will we wear? And Jesus refers to Solomon here. Even that great king, in all his splendor, was not able to dress up like even one of these flowers. Solomon's success and wealth increased beyond imagination. In terms of his wealth, some have suggested that in today's dollars, he was a trillionaire. His gold reserves worth hundreds of billions of dollars. He owned 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horsemen were on his payroll. Yet, he could not dress up like even one of these. God Almighty clothes these flowers with beauty every season. The same God is the Father of us all believers. Then why should we doubt that He is able to provide? He that takes care of these flowers, takes thoughts of these flowers, will surely not neglect the bodies in which He dwells Himself. You agree with that? O you of little faith. It sounds quite harsh, doesn't it? And He went further and told us that these were pagans who had the worries of tomorrow because they had no God and therefore no faith on the providential care of God. They concerned themselves with these wants of tomorrow with anxiety. That what they will wear, because as there was no such thing as providence in the world. To worry about tomorrow is to imitate the worst kind of pagans who live without hope and without God in this world. Can I ask you a question? Can you name someone in this world who invented the gas we use every day? Or who invented even one of the countless minerals that are used every day? Or someone who made the gold or diamond or iron or silver? Can you name someone? No. No one else can name someone. Because no one made these things. These things were already here, and human beings just discovered these things and made use of them. You agree with that? God knew ahead that human being, His precious creature, would need these things in their lives. And He not only knows our needs, He also knows how to fulfill them, or to fulfill them. And that is why He said, do not worry. I know your needs. Do not worry about your future. Do not worry about tomorrow, what you will wear and what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry. And last of all, He seals up all His instructions on this subject by laying down one of the wisest maxims. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We are not to carry worries which have not come yet. But we are to concentrate on today's business and leave tomorrow's worries till tomorrow. We are not to deal tomorrow's worries today. We have to deal what we have today. An eminent philosopher, Thomas Carlyle, puts Jesus' instructions in these words. He says that our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. This is what we are supposed to do. We are to attend to today's business and leave our worries, our tomorrow's worries, till tomorrow. Friends, let me tell you one thing. Our greatest fear is associated with tomorrow. And that, unfortunately, does not let us be happy and enjoy our today. Jesus taught His disciples to ask for today's bread. Not to complain about the bread we had to eat yesterday, or not to ask for tomorrow's bread. Just ask for today's bread. And today's bread is the kind of bread we can possibly eat. So that's why Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Just ask for today's bread Let's see this from a different dimension. Did Jesus mean to say that we should not make any effort to prepare for tomorrow? No, he did not. He meant that the best way we can prepare for tomorrow is to concentrate on the gifts what we have been given today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. We have to concentrate what we have been given today, and that is the best possible way to prepare for our future. I have a dear friend, and we were having a conversation recently, and at some point our conversation turned to the subject of worries. I told him that I don't worry about my future anymore. He said, how come? How can't you worry about your future? I said, yes, I used to be worried about my future, but now I don't worry. I care about my future, but I don't worry. He said, you seminarians and ministers know very well how to play with the words. I said, no, it's not a playing with words. This is true. And there is a significant difference being worried about tomorrow and taking care of tomorrow. And this is what I told him. Worry is associated with fear. Worry is based on fear. And it carries with it the hopelessness and unfaithfulness. Care, on the other hand, carries with it hope and faithfulness that God will provide. It shows our faith that God will provide. You agree with that? So, let your worry serve as an alarm. Every time you notice your worry about tomorrow is creeping into your thoughts, redirect your focus and energy to the gifts, what you have been given by God unconditionally today. We are not to worry about tomorrow. We have to take care of the business what we have today. And Martin Luther once said, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop him from building a nest on it. Yes. We can stop him from building a nest on it. And we cannot stop worries from entering into our hearts, but we can keep them making roots or taking roots into that. That's what we can do. And we may be sure that psalmist's words are true when he says that, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Friends, worry begins with a thought. Whenever we have a problem, either we can do what devil wants us to do and worry, get anxious, and try to figure out things on our own, or we can do what God wants us to do, or we can choose to trust him. That is what we can choose. So God has given us the choice. God has given us the choice to choose the right thing. So let us choose the right thing and do not worry. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing our final song together.
Sing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
I want to thank Nadim for sharing with us this morning. I hope you heard a good word this morning. Did you? Did you hear a good word this morning? Nadim is going to go out with me afterwards, and he's going to be there so you can show him your appreciation right afterwards. But one of the gifts that we give the world, one of the gifts that we give people who don't understand God and who can't fathom why we would have a relationship with God, is this sense of peace that we receive. This gift of peace that we get from God, that when people go, I don't know why you're not worried about this. It's a thing that people want to ask questions about. So I pray this week that as you go out into the world, as you have opportunities to talk with people, you have that gift of peace that comes from God. Friends, do not worry. Go in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.